This is the Jaguars Broadcast Week in Review podcast presented by TIAA Bank. It's Friday, September 23rd, and it's week three in the National Football League. I'm JP Shadrick with the best of the week from Jaguars Radio, Jaguars.com, and all our social channels, Jaguars Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Thanks for listening on Jaguars.com through the podcast link at the top of the homepage or on the official Jaguars Podcast Network. That's on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts. We love the feedback, of course, so leave us a comment and a five-star rating. Let's begin with a Victory Monday edition of Jaguars Happy Hour Radio. As always, Pete Prisco and Tony Boselli wanted some credit for the Jaguars shutout win over the Colts. We welcome in Pete Prisco and Tony Boselli. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are we feeling today, Pete?
Well, I mean, we had a double lock for the first time ever.
Yeah. I mean, the double lock is undefeated. I think I'm surprised we didn't get any credit in the press conference that we started all the momentum of the week with the double lock.
That was my best bet of the week on our shows here, and I love the game all week. And Tony, remember I told you how bad that Colts offensive line was? They're bad.
Well, and I think I'd like an apology because I said last week that when we did the power rankings that the Jags were number one in the power rankings.
That's true. You got heckled
for
it.
And I got heckled, and they are the best team in this division right now.
Right now,
don't look at me. I wasn't the one doing the heckling. Why are you staring at me, Tony?
Why? Because Pete. I can't see Pete on the screen right now, so I can't. I can't yell at him directly.
He's like, look, I heckled you, but you were right. You're right. Right now, they're the best team, in the division. There's no doubt right now.
And I haven't
think differently when they go to the Chargers this week, but that's a whole other story.
Well, no, but set that aside because we'll talk plenty about the Chargers, and I got some thoughts on that that I'm sure Pete will lose his mind over.
Oh, really?
Pete, I have seen the Texans on tape. I've seen the Colts on tape and live. I have not seen the Titans on tape yet. I'll watch them live tonight, Monday Night Football. But of the Colts and the Texans, the Jaguars are a better team. Like, and the Jags have beat – we've beat the Colts, you know, here since 2014. But several times after the game, even if we won – I did not think we were the better team. I think we just
kind of fluked into
it. We found a way to win. Happens. You know, you just kind of, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I felt like after yesterday's game and at every point during the game that the Jaguars were the better team. They have more talent. Like they're the better franchise right now when it comes to playing football on the field. And I'm talking 2022. I forget about, you know, 2021 in the past. But they're the better team, and watching tape of the Texans, I feel the same way.
And, you know, the Titans, who knows what they are right now? We don't know. We'll know a little bit more about them tonight, like you said. But, look, if they play the way they played Sunday, they're the best team. In fairness to the Colts banged up. I mean, they didn't have anybody outside the passing game.
Okay, Pete, if Pittman and the rookie are there, the game's not different.
But Leonard wasn't there. I mean, that matters, doesn't it?
Sure.
But, yeah, right. The Jaguars still win the game. They just don't shut them out or win by 24. Win by 10.
I'm just saying, I'm not even talking about the score. I'm talking about watching the tape, watching them live, looking at the rosters, looking at the build. The Jags are the better team right now.
So, are you saying they're going to the postseason?
I'm not ready to lock that yet.
Premature for a lock. Okay.
Lock it up.
But I did say I said this team. I said this team before the season would win 7 to 9 games. I might be going north of that.
Oh, you're moving. You're moving it now.
Maybe I'm going to stay there right now. I don't want to get. You know.
Is that because the division is worse than you think it thought it was going to be?
What'd you say?
Is that because you think the division is worse than you thought it was going to be?
Yes, that's a big part of it, Pete.
Happy Hour Monday airs 4 to 6 p.m. on 1010XL AM, Jaguars.com, and the Jaguars social media channels, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Let's continue with the best sound from press conferences or interviews in the locker room this week, starting with the quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, Wednesday.
There's things that always, that can always carry over depending on the defense you're playing, and certainly things do, but as far as just your mentality, you kind of have to flip the page, and you look at more you know, you don't just luck into a win like we did on Sunday. It's the preparation to get there, the focus, all those things, and you just replicate it. And that's the biggest thing. So that's the positive you take from it, and you just try to do it again and again. But as far as just that result, that's not going to win you the game on Sunday. You got to just stick to your process and do it every day of the week.
Doug used the phrase, so what, now what? Did he use that with you guys too? Like, yeah, so what, yeah. You won, now what? What now, what are you going to do?
Yep,
does that resonate a little bit with you guys?
Yeah, that's something he talks about all the time. And that's just, I mean, that's how football is. That's how this league is. You have a 17-game regular season. That's the second game of the season. Whether we won or lost that game, we still got a game this week and a huge one at that. So it doesn't really matter the outcome. Obviously, you take a lot of confidence from how we played, and that's the goal. But at the end of the day, you got another game coming up this week, and by, you know, lunchtime on Monday, you're past it and you're moving on to the next week. So that's how we approach it.
Head coach Doug Peterson Wednesday explained how the offense evolves week to week.
I thought, honestly, I mean, I know the yard per carry or yard per attempt was, you know, just over two, but I thought it was effective enough, though, to open up some of the little play action stuff, some of the drop back passes, things of that nature. And quite honestly, you know, you saw commitment to the run, right? And how our offensive line, you know, took charge right there. But sometimes it's not so much the yards per carry as much as you just got to commit to it and stick to it, because it does open up some other things in your offense.
Have you ever played through a rib injury ever?
Yes.
What's it like having
to? I mean, it's not fun. It's not comfortable. You know, you're dealing with just body movements all the time. You know, I remember when I did mine, sitting down, sneezing, coughing, laughing, all that kind of stuff can kind of agitate and irritate the area. But it just takes, you know, time to heal.
They tend to be slow to heal?
I think it depends on the person, the treatment, you know, the rehab that they're going through. You know, for me, it was just a few days, and you're back out there throwing and moving, but it's, you know, it's there.
Doug, do play callers get in a rhythm, and you feel like you're in a pretty good rhythm with the tools that you have to work with, even though it's early in the season?
Play callers do get in a rhythm, and then play callers can also get out of a rhythm. You know, it all just depends on how the game is going, you know. So, you know, you hope to be in more of a rhythm, obviously, each week. But, you know, the flow of the game is something that you know, that's predicated sometimes by the players and how well we're just executing the offense, right? And then just allows you to kind of free your mind up and open your, you know, your sheet up just a little bit more to get to some more of the good stuff, you know, on your call sheet. But you know, last Sunday was one of those examples, and it kind of goes back to the run game, just being able to stick with the run to help us open up some other things.
Wide receiver Christian Kirk is off to a great start with the Jags, but in the locker room this week, he told me it's all the receivers doing their job and spreading the wealth.
Definitely. I mean, you know, especially last year, you know, in Arizona, having all the pieces that we did, and, you know, there's few teams that are able to have and acquire that much talent and be able to get them all on the field at one time and being able to spread the ball around. And, you know, that's the thing that, you know, we have going here is, you know, being able to get everybody involved, put everybody in different situations. And like I said, you know, find out who's good at what, and, you know, you go ahead and just, you know, kind of keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, but in different variations. You know, that was a good thing is, and I like what we're doing now, is we found what we're good at and we don't shy away from it. And we're going to still run the same play over and over and over again, but we're just going to give it to you 100 different ways. And so, you know, until, you know, defenses, you know, stop it or learn how to stop it, we're going to keep, you know, try to exploiting, you know, those personnel matchups and, you know, taking advantage of what they do.
If Zay's running deep, he can take two guys out while you cut underneath, and that's kind of, he may not get the ball as much early, but it opens up a lot of things when you have a speed guy like that over the top, right?
Yeah, and you know, that's going to be weekly, you know, like, and it'll be a situation where it may be 2-3 weeks in a row, it may be 1 week in a row where it's just, you know, different guys. You know, it's going to be Marv, it's going to be Zay, it's going to be me, it's going to be Ag. You know, everybody's going to have their moments, and that's the thing of just, you know, buying into our plan. And, you know, so it just makes it that much more difficult for defenses to be able to prepare. You take one guy away, the other guy goes, you know, and does what he does. You know, take two guys away, that guy is going to be able to exploit the matchup. So, you know, it's just being bought in, and everybody is. Everybody does a great job. So it's all, you know, being here for each other.
That's the challenge. We know those some diva wide receivers around the league might not fit in an offense like that. If they need to get the ball 10 times a game, that may not play in a room like this, right?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely, you know, we talk about just checking our egos in at the door. And, you know, we have great guys in our room. We're all, you know, here to see each other succeed. There's no envy or, you know, any type of disappointment for he's getting this amount and I'm not getting this. You know, it's all about, you know, winning football games. And so for us, you know, as long as we're doing that, you know, then there's no complaining.
Left tackle Cam Robinson told me about the matchup with Khalil Mack on the left side.
Everything. I mean, he's a hell of a player, future Hall of Fame player. So, I mean, we both tackles, I think we both got our work cut out for us. But, I mean, we're absolutely up for the challenge. We played both of these guys before. So, I think we know that some of the challenges that they present. So, it's going to be, you know what I'm saying, we're going to have a good week of practice, and it's going to be a good challenge for us on Sunday.
And over on defense, outside linebacker Josh Allen discussed facing Justin Herbert and much more.
I mean, you know, much respect for him, you know what I'm saying? He, you know, as a scheme offense, man, they set him up for success on every level, you know what I'm saying? He has guys on the outside, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, you know, that makes big plays, you know what I'm saying, who are matchup problems to some DBs. So that makes the rush even more detailed, you know what I'm saying? Even more we got to get to them. So that's the challenge that we're looking forward to, is just winning our one-on-ones when we get an opportunity to, and make sure he fills us as much as he can. If we don't get the sack, because he, you know, he has a quick trigger and quick release, you know, he does a good job on reading out personnel from one side to another. So for us, it's those opportunities that we want to live off of and get home.
How is Eckler different than Jonathan Taylor, Austin Eckler, the running back?
He's another good back, you know, somebody that can sneak away at any moment. You know, he has good hands out of the backfield. He's explosive. He's a smaller guy, but he gets under his pads pretty well. So it's another challenge that we have to do, is stop the run to rush the passer. And so that we're up for that challenge as well every week, man. Our main goal is to dominate the line of scrimmage. And with that being said, it's to stop the run.
Press conferences and select locker room sound available on Jaguars.com. In a moment, Chargers radio play-by-play announcer and NFL Network host Matt Money Smith gives a Justin Herbert rib update. Plus, Bucky Brooks on some of the matchups this week in the Jaguars-Chargers game. All that after this.
Jags fans, fill your wallet with one debit card that screams Duval, exclusively from TIAA Bank. The Jacksonville Jaguars Visa debit card comes with a fierce look and fantastic features so you can pay with pride wherever you go. And it's yours free when you open a Yield Pledge checking account. Up your financial game today. Visit a financial center near you or find us at TIAABank.com/JagsCard. TIAA Bank is a division of TIAA, FSB, member FDIC, and the official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Welcome back to the Jaguars Broadcast Week in Review podcast presented by TIAA Bank. And check out the official Jaguars Podcast Network. It's free on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you download your pods. Now to the best of our shows this week. Looking ahead to the Jaguars-Chargers matchup. On Jags Drive Time Wednesday, Chargers radio play-by-play announcer and NFL Network host Matt Money Smith joined Ashlyn Sullivan, John Osier, and Brian Sexton and provided a Justin Herbert rib injury update and much more.
We just talked for about 10 minutes all about Justin Herbert and the latest on this injury. Is he going to play? We all guessed he would, but what's the latest in Los Angeles with the quarterback?
Yeah, I'll tell you, they're really not saying a lot, as you would expect, right? You know, the injury reports are specifically sort of nebulous, and pardon me, I'm driving up the FanDuel TV right now and 405 freeway, where it's always just kind of a free-for-all, and you have to keep your head on the swivel. So my apologies for the horn in the background. Yeah, he's going to play. I think kind of the way it's been described to us is that it's a pain injury. It's not a debilitating. I mean, certainly it's debilitating, but it's something you can play through. It's just managing the pain that you know, everyone we talk to seems to think is going to stick around for a little while. But look, I think we saw with that throw after he couldn't run for a first down for 2 yards because he was in so much pain, in the very next snap, he throws a 39-yard dot. You know, that Herbert's probably capable of playing through it. He's not going to be 100%, but, you know, by week 3, how many players in the NFL are at 100%?
And Matt, you also cover football on a national level, and frankly, we're not used to the Jaguars being talked about on a national level. And then all of a sudden, I'm seeing that this week, which is kind of crazy because it's only one win over the Colts. But what is your mindset of this Jaguars team coming into Los Angeles?
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I'm actually driving. I'm going to Duque's show right now. I do it every week for Power Rankings with her on Up and Adams. And we were talking about, okay, what are the teams we talk about? Well, let's make sure we hit the Cowboys with Cooper Rush. Do we not believe it? All right, the 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo. And then the Jaguars came up. And, you know, we kind of had this little mini conversation of, well, you know, we only have 12 minutes for this segment. Do we want to hit the Packers? Do we want to hit the Bills? Do, you know, and it's like, the Jags, they deserve some love. Like, this is an interesting team. They, you know, they've had all these first-round picks that have not come to fruition, that have gone bust, and now it looks like they're hitting them. Trevor Lawrence, and obviously with Josh Allen, and now being able to be teamed up with Trayvon Walker, like, that is a formidable front. I'm on the West Coast. I call college football games still a little bit when I have windows to do so. I'll be calling the Utah-USC games. So Devin Lloyd, someone I'm completely familiar with. Like, that's a good young, athletic, nightmarish front that you've got to contend with. I think it starts there. I think Trevor Lawrence, you know, because we had heard so much about him being a generational talent, and I totally believe that's still a very real possibility with his size and athleticism and, you know, ability to play that position, what he showed at Clemson and how many games they won. So I think there is more of a national attention put on them, just because of the way they beat the Colts. So many people had pegged the Colts as a top 10 team, as sort of the team to come out of the AFC South, and to see them manhandled that way. Yeah, they had some injuries on the offensive line, but I think we've seen, you know, those. And look, it wasn't, I don't want to say it definitely wasn't the consensus pick. There are a lot of people wondering if that production of Aiden Hutchinson was being overlooked for the potential of Trayvon Walker. And now I think you're starting to see why. This guy could end up being a real problem with that length, strength, and athleticism. And look, for the Chargers, they lost their right tackle halfway through that game. And that's when you started to see it get leaky on that side when Storm came in to replace Trey Pipkins. They lost their starting center and All-Pro and Corey Linsley for the second half of that game. So that's going to be a problem. You know, I think, and if you can do it, if you can affect Herbert, then certainly it's going to be even more of a national conversation of, hey, a lot of people are talking about the Jags plus 750 going into the season as potential winners of the AFC South. And those people are feeling pretty good about their wallets right now.
Jags Drive Time airs Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday mornings on Jaguars.com and the Jags social media channels, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Also this week, huddle up with Bucky Brooks. Bucky, Osher, and I talk through Christian Kirk's strong start at receiver and some matchups with the Chargers this Sunday. There's a reason why they paid this guy all this money, and it's proving out over 2 weeks so far, Bucky.
Yeah, it is proving out over time. And, you know, very early in the offseason, Doug talked about this system and veteran pass catchers and how you don't necessarily need A's to be able to be effective and efficient on offense, but you can get a lot done with B plus playmakers on the outside. And when you look at the collection of playmakers that are on the outside, Zay Jones, Marvin Jones, Christian Kirk, Evan Engram, you throw in Travis Etienne, there are a lot of things that the Jaguars are able to accomplish because they're trustworthy on the outside. Trevor Lawrence knows that if I get to the spot and the ball is supposed to go to this spot on the field, his playmakers are going to be there. And so for a young quarterback, that stability, that consistency allows them to eventually develop confidence. And you can see the chemistry that is beginning to exist between the young quarterback and the older receivers because he can trust them and they're beginning to trust him.
So I guess the question would be, Bucky, when you're not playing a static defense, how much more difficult does it get for Trevor Lawrence? I mean, did we see growth from him, or was it because the circumstances were right? Does that question make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I think the circumstances were right, but we did see growth. You go back to the Washington Commanders game, he missed some of the layups that Doug had been harping on. Like, man, we just got to connect those things, particularly early in games. Yeah, it was the right mix. So this week against the Chargers, you may get another thing that's very simple because the Chargers want to take away the deep ball. That's an old Vic Fangio trick. Force the teams to drive the length of the field, and they will eventually make mistakes. They'll do some things up front to muddy up the run game, but you can see a lot of too high safeties. This will be another challenge of Trevor's patience and his discipline. Can he avoid trying to fit the ball into tight windows and just nickel and dime the ball down the field. Brandon Staley and the Chargers are saying the odds are against a player being that patient. If Doug can get Trevor to understand, A, the check down is a win, it could be another positive result for Trevor Lawrence this week.
I think it's a trickier task too, JP, because you've got, A, I think the Chargers have more all-pro elite high-end guys on their defense than the Colts. I think the Colts are a good defense.
Yeah, but not like this.
But, yeah, I mean, you've got guys who can, I guess, wreck the game plan on the defense side of the ball, and I anticipate more scoreboard pressure, if you will. I mean, it felt very comfortable for the Jaguars all day on Sunday because they had the lead and there was not that threat of – it was sort of a reverse of what we've seen from the Jags a lot of time, where you just felt like they were never putting any pressure on teams for the last couple of years, and therefore teams could play how they wanted to, which made it hard for them to get takeaways for the last couple of years. I would anticipate a lot of scoreboard pressure from from Los Angeles this week, not necessarily because the Chargers – I mean, because the Jaguars' defense is playing poorly – but the Chargers can score on you even if you're playing well. So I anticipate them scoring and therefore more pressure on the Jaguars' offense. I don't mean to be negative, but I think that's probably realistic.
It's kind of what it is. I mean, it's hard to expect a shutout every week. Right?
Well, I mean, especially against Justin Herbert. This offense, to me, you can play very well defensively and still have them score maybe 21, 24 points even if you're playing lights out. So buckle up. Long trip.
Yeah, look, they pose – an interesting challenge. They pose a challenge because offensively they certainly have firepower. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, two of the nicest receivers that you'll see in the league. Justin Herbert, a budding superstar at the position. He is going to throw all over the field. He's going to make you defend every blade of grass. The key will be, though, offensively, how do you handle Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa off the edges? Can you deal with them to give yourself enough time? Because as much as I would like to build up the Chargers, and they are a fantastic defense, they do have a lot of stars, they also have been vulnerable at times. And so it'd be a great, what I call, measuring stick game for the Jacksonville Jaguars to see exactly where they are at this stage of the year. Look, man, I think you take a shot down in L.A.
Huddle Up with Bucky Brooks Wednesdays at 4 on the Jags social media channels and Jaguars.com. And finally, we visit each week on Countdown to Kickoff on the Jaguars Radio Network with Pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor. The full version comes up this weekend on the official Jags Podcast Network. This week, we talked about the new era of offensive football in the NFL and much more.
Listen, that's just the way the NFL is now. You know, prior to 2011, when they switched up the CBA, you know, a lot of rules had followed, you know, building up to that. We're in a pass league. Back in the day, it was a run-first league, and you can ask those questions. Why didn't we run in 25-plus? You know, and I agree with Coach Peterson. You do what it takes to win the game. You know, point-blank, period, simple. Trending around the league, you know, I'm into fantasy football here lately, and I'm looking at these running backs, and they're 6 carries, 7 carries, 9 carries. I mean, superstar running back, the Derrick Henrys of the world. Look at what Jonathan Taylor left last week's game. I don't know if he had got double-digit carries. I know in the first half it was only like 5 carries for 4 yards, and that wasn't going to work for them to win their game. So their coaches say we have to abort. So whatever it takes to win the game, that's what you do. Coach Peterson is a Super Bowl winning head coach. You're going to question him? I don't think so. You know, script it up. You know, study it, script it up. Whatever it takes, sometimes the course of the game changes, JP. You never know what you're in. You know, you see something on tape. If that doesn't work, what makes you a great coach and a great team is you're able to make those adjustments and make the most of it and come away with victories.
Again, the exclusive extended interview runs Saturday on the official Jaguars Podcast Network and listen starting at 3 o'clock on Countdown to Kickoff ahead of the Week 3 matchup. The Jacksonville Jaguars face the Los Angeles Chargers. We're on the air in Jacksonville at 1 o'clock with the Publix Tailgate Show on 1010XL. At 3 o'clock, Countdown to Kickoff on the Jaguars Radio Network. Kickoff time officially 4:05 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for listening on Jaguars.com or the official Jaguars Podcast Network on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you download those podcasts. Leave us a comment and a 5-star rating. Enjoy the weekend, and thanks for listening. I'm JP Shadrick. We'll catch you next week on the Jaguars Broadcast Week in Review Podcast, presented by TIAA Bank.